2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. In other words, we already know his MO, his operating method. That means you don't have to go into battle against your spiritual foe ignorant of the tactics that he's going to use against you. We saw in last week's episode that Satan attacks your mind with his lies in order to turn you against God's will. We also began a deep dive into how he typically attacks by looking at his approach to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode number 51 as we continue our mini-series on how to live for Christ. Today's episode, Say It Ain't So. In his assault on Eve's mind, Satan used three subtle steps to deceive her into buying his lie. In episode 50, last week's episode, we talked about step number one. He got Eve to question God's word. You may remember we talked about Genesis 3:1, which tells us that Satan said to the woman, "Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Now, I want you to understand, as we pointed out last week, Satan didn't attack God's word directly. He didn't actually deny that God had spoken. He didn't try to force Eve to believe that God never actually said anything of real importance. He simply posed a question. He planted a seed of doubt in her mind. Did God actually say that? Well, today we're going to look at step number two. He outrightly denied God's word. Now, as we dive into that, first I want you to notice Eve's response to Satan's question, did God say that? In Genesis 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden.' But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now listen as I read to you Satan's response in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Genesis 3, 4 and 5. See, after Eve responded to Satan's first step, she began to question God's word. He knew he had her right where he wanted her. Conspiratorially, he grinned. He leaned forward a bit and he whispered into her ear, "Come on, Eve. Do you really think that you're going to die? You're not going to die. Think about it, Eve. Come on. God created you. He designed you. There's no way he's going to let you die. God's making that up. He's lying to you because he's afraid. He's afraid that you'll become just like him, and that threatens him." I want you to consider this. When Satan convinces you to doubt God's truth, you're one small step away from denying God's truth. Let me repeat that. When Satan convinces you to doubt God's truth, you're just one small step away from denying God's truth. You see, once the seed of doubt had begun to take root in Eve's mind, her uncontrolled thoughts took over. They drew her ever further away from God's truth. And the result, she saw nothing wrong with questioning God. That, in turn, opened up her thinking to accepting it was okay. It's all right to add my own spin to his sacred word. I want you to consider what God said in Genesis 2, verse 17. "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now think about what Eve had said. She had said, "We may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Can you see what Eve did? First, she omitted a very specific word. God said, "You will surely die." What did Eve neglect to say? She left out the word surely, a word that God used to speak of the certainty, the fact, the absolute truth of what will happen if you choose to disobey. Not only did she take away from God's word, but she added to it. You see, Eve told Satan that God instructed them to not even touch the fruit. But wait a minute, isn't that a good thing? I mean, after all, everyone's better off if you just avoid the fruit completely. Just don't touch it. It makes sense, right? But here's what I want you to understand. When Eve added to what God had said, she did two very serious things. First of all, she turned God into something that he is not. She began to paint the picture of a God who was stern and rigid, less kind, less loving, less generous. The fact is, God had already lovingly given them an entire garden with more food than they could ever eat. Satan successfully steered her thinking away from that fact, and he got her to focus on the one thing God said she couldn't have. Oh, what kind of loving, caring, selfless God is that? Well, think about it. Isn't that what Satan does with you and with me today? He gets you to focus not on what God has blessed you with, but on what God is withholding from you. Not what God has given to you, but what God is saying you can't have. The second serious thing that she did was this. By adding the words, "you must not touch it," she was changing God's command into a burden that was way too heavy to bear. She was already doubting and questioning God's word. She had already created a false image of God, making him into something that he is not. And now, to make matters worse, she saw God as denying her the one thing she wanted most in this world, the one thing that she so desperately needed, to be like God. Oh, the load that God was expecting her to bear became way too much. Hopefully you heard the sarcasm dripping from that last statement. Well, it's vital that you understand this next point. God will never, highlight the word never, capitalize it, circle it, put a star by it, draw arrows pointing to it. God will never give you more than you can bear. Never. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, his commandments are not burdensome. Okay, so in his assault on Eve's mind, Satan used three subtle steps to deceive her into buying his lie. And listen, he uses the same tactic on you and I today. First, he got Eve to question God's word. That's what he does with us. He gets us to doubt, did God really say that? Is that what God really meant? Second, he outright denied God's word. God didn't say that. That's not what he meant. And then third, he replaced God's truth with his own crafty lie. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, somehow your minds may be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion that is in Christ. Do you hear his fear? Do you hear his concern? Do you understand what was triggering Paul to say this? He knew that Satan is after your mind. Satan is waging an all-out war against your mind, and he's using his lies to try to keep you from growing in your walk with God. And once he has you questioning the truth of God's word, you begin to listen to his denial of God's word. You're now vulnerable for that final blow. This is where he inserts his own lies in place of God's word, convincing you that his lie is actually the truth. Satan's lie to Eve went something like this. Ah, Eve, God knows that if you eat the fruit of this tree, you will know the real truth. Take a bite, and you will see just what kind of God he really is. You'll see how he's been using you. You'll see how he's been blinding you to the truth. He doesn't care about you. Listen as I read Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. I want you to listen closely to the lie that the enemy inserts into his false truth. It goes like this, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Can you identify the lie of the enemy here? It's subtle, but it's there. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, in the account of the creation of man, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:26 and 27. You see, Adam and Eve were already created after the image of God. But Satan got them to question and then doubt that truth. Once they did that, it was easy for them to accept his lie substituted as the truth. Does that sound familiar to you? Isn't that exactly how Satan works today? His MO has not changed one bit. Satan's lie, "You will be like God," still motivates and controls mankind today. Listen, every time you put King Me on the throne of your heart, you are buying into the enemy's lie that you can be like God, that you can have control over your life. You can determine your own destiny. The enemy wants you to believe that I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without is the mantra that you should be pursuing. The truth permeating Scripture is that no one can be like God. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 10, Moses told that to Pharaoh. He said, "There is no one like the Lord our God." In fact, God repeated that truth to Pharaoh himself in Exodus 9, verse 14, when he said, "I will send my plagues upon you and your people so that you may know there is none like me in all the earth." The prophet Samuel cried out to God, "You are great. O Lord God, there is none like you. There is no God besides you." 2 Samuel 7:22. Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. Every time Satan opens his mouth, anything that crosses his lips is a lie. And yet, so many of us are still buying into his lies, trying to do life on our own, in our own power, in our own wisdom, turning to God only when everything else has failed. When we try to figure out life without looking to God's word for direction, when we attempt to make choices without seeking the guidance of our Heavenly Father, folks, listen, we become vulnerable to the input of godly influences in our life. Those influences, listen, those ungodly influences will never lead us down the right path. They won't do it because they can't. They're geared for one thing and one thing alone, and that is to try and sway you, to pull you, to draw you away from God. When we begin to doubt God's word and deny God's truth, allowing Satan's deceitful lies to take the place of God's absolute truth, then we will see no need. We will no longer see the necessity for God's word. The result, we'll begin to live a life apart from God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we doubt God's word, when we deny God's truth, we allow Satan's lies to begin to take the place of God's word, we're going to get to a point where we're just not going to care about the Bible. We're going to see the Bible as irrelevant to our time, our day and age, to our life. And we will begin to live a life separate from God. By using the strategy that he did, Satan persuaded Eve to consider the tree apart from what God had said. He influenced her thinking with his lies so that she doubted and questioned God's word. That's when she was open to rejecting God's truth. And the final blow came when she accepted Satan's lie as the truth. And she reached out and not only took the fruit, but placed it between her lips and ate it as well. Watch this now. When you doubt the word of God, you'll begin to doubt the God of the word. And as a result, you'll begin to trust only in King Me. Thoughts of honoring God are now crowded out by thoughts of my perceived rights, the things that are being denied me, that I deserve. And you begin to see God's standards as harsh and cruel, a terrible burden that you are forced to have to carry, which in turn causes you to see God as unloving, uncaring. And from there, it's a whole lot easier to allow your mind to linger on the pleasures that sin affords, and you begin to think about life apart from the truth of God's word and the God of the word. And finally, it's a very short step toward outright disobedience to your Heavenly Father. Well, here's what I want you to realize. All Satan has to do is to convince you to choose to think about life apart from the word and the will of God, and you'll do the rest. Did you catch that? All Satan has to do is get you to think about life, just to think about life apart from the word of God, apart from the will of God, and you'll fill in the blanks. Listen, we need to understand just how vital it is that we consider every part of life, all of life, in light of God's word. God's truth, my friend, listen to me. God's truth must always, always be your guide in every aspect of life. That's why anyone who comes to me for counseling and coaching, I require the daily homework is being in the word of God. I require you to be in the scriptures every single day. It is fundamentally imperative that you continuously saturate your mind with God's truth. Why? Because as 1 John 2:21 says, no lie comes from the truth. Daily, folks, daily, in fact, multiple times every day, you face the same choice that Eve did, God's truth or Satan's lie. When you dilute and change God's truth, it's easy for you to reject that truth. And then it becomes easy to believe the lie and choose to sin instead of glorify God. Well, contrary to what Satan wants you to believe, he is not your friend. He does not care about your pleasure. He does not care about your enjoyment, your happiness. He wants to hurt God, and he will use you to do it if he possibly can. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 commands us to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. I want you to catch here that Peter says we are to be sober-minded. We are to be self-controlled. In other words, you need to always, always be in your right mind. You need to be thinking correctly. Why? Because the devil knows, Proverbs 23:7, he knows that as you think in your heart, so are you. What you think becomes what you do. So the devil's on the hunt. He's looking for the one who's thinking incorrectly, who's thinking improperly. He's looking for someone to devour. Now think about it. When a lioness is on the hunt, she knows that the best target is the weak one. The best target's the one who thinks he's safe. And so when she comes upon a herd of antelope, she crouches low in the grass and patiently waits. And while she's waiting, she's watching. She's watching to see which one in the herd is the weakest. Which one is isolated from everyone else? Which one is oblivious? Which one is ignorant of its surroundings? Which one is the most vulnerable? That's what Satan does with you and I. He's watching. He's looking for the Christian who is weak in the faith. He's looking for the born-again believer who isn't hiding God's word in their heart, focusing God's thoughts, focusing their thoughts on God's word, on glorifying God, on living for their Heavenly Father. It's why you should always be in your right mind. It's why you should always be thinking properly. It's why you should always be on guard against the attack of the enemy. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Protect your mind. For out of it, out of your heart, out of your mind spring the issues of life. What you think becomes what you do. Well, as I wrap up today's episode, I have a personal request for you. The fact is, as I'm looking at the chaos and the confusion and the catastrophes that are happening in the world around us, the mandates and the complaints and the issues that we're facing, I'm becoming more and more convinced that our time on earth is running out, that very soon we're going to hear the trump call of God and we're going to be taken home to be with him. And to that end, I am burdened. I am so heavily burdened that we still have people who need to hear the message of hope and healing and restoration. There are still those out there that need to know Christ is the answer. And you know, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said, I don't know what waits for me. I don't know what's ahead, but I do know this, that my life is worth nothing to me if I'm not using it for finishing the work that God's given me to do, the work of telling others the good news. That's how I feel. I feel so burdened to speak out loud to as many people as I can and declare God's truth to as many people as I can and show them from Scripture how to live in victory and freedom from the lure of lust and the pull of porn and the magnet of masturbation. That's what the Pure Man Ministry is all about. We do a whole lot more than just podcasts. Do a whole lot more than just travel around and speak at different conferences and retreats. We have an app that we're constantly updating that's loaded with scripture and videos and a message of hope. We have the podcast. We have the website. There are articles that I'm writing. But even more than all of that, most important in our ministry is the day-to-day work that we do. You see, I have the honor and the privilege every single day of the week of sitting down in my office and talking with men, literally all over the globe, talking with men who are struggling with lust and porn and masturbation, with the affairs, with sexual impurity. And we're pouring into their lives. We're investing in their marriages, in their homes, and in their churches, taking them into the Word of God, training them how to live free, how to live victorious, how to live a life that glorifies God. Without compromise, ladies and gentlemen, the Pure Man Ministry shows men and women how to have a continuous relationship with Jesus, one that is real and one that is personal. Here's why I'm sharing with you all this. I'm asking for your financial help. We need to raise approximately $46,000 by the end of this year to be able to launch our ministry into 2022. To function fully and in our full capacity, we need to raise $46,000. And we're asking for you to help, whether that's giving a $5 gift, a $50 gift, a $500 gift, a $5,000 gift, whatever God places upon your heart to give to this ministry is deeply appreciated. And as a thank you to you, any gift that you give is tax deductible. Yes, tax deductible. So if God is moving in your heart to become a financial partner with us, if you share our burden to see men and women live in victory and freedom over this debilitating sin issue in their life, then would you please go to our website, thepuritycoach.com. Again, that's thepuritycoach, all one word, thepuritycoach.com. In the upper right corner, you'll see a button that says donate. Just click on that button, fill out the information, and give your tax-deductible donation to the ministry today. Please, help us reach our goal so that we can reach the world with a message of hope and healing and restoration. And I pray that these podcasts are a blessing to you, that they're encouraging you, they're challenging you, they're stretching you, they're educating you. And if you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. Until next time, this is author, speaker, and purity coach Steve Ettner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.